Well, hello to all my good friends at Home Valley Ealing Church. I was due to be your guest preacher on the 21st of June, but obviously with the present restrictions, they had to be cancelled. So it's great to be able to share with you today, albeit through technology. And I pray today that what I share with you will be a blessing and an encouragement to you today. I want to speak about the subject of the mission of the church in a hostile world. We are living in momentous days. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he said these words, "In the last days, perilous times will come." And I believe the events that are happening in our world at the moment are telling us very clearly that we are living in the closing days of time and that we are leading up to that great event of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the mission of the church is to preach the gospel to the nations of the world and to make disciples. And the church, even from her inception, has always experienced persecution and opposition. There have been those who have done all they can to protest against the message of the gospel. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, when speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 24, he gave them a warning which went something like this: "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." And of course, we know that one of the great problems facing the church in so many nations today is that of persecution. I know many of you are praying into that. But I want to share with you today from the first chapter of Paul's epistle, first epistle to the Thessalonians. And you may want to get a Bible handy. I will be reading a passage from there in a few moments. But just to sort of fill you in with the background of this great epistle, Thessalonica was a major metropolis, a major city, a major trading route from Rome to the east of the empire. It was a major banking centre, so it was a great centre of commerce, a strategic city in the Mediterranean world. And we read how that Paul came to Thessalonica, we read about this in Acts chapter 17, to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to that great metropolis. And in Acts chapter 17, we read that Paul came to Thessalonica, and initially for three Sabbaths, he went into the synagogue and began to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching specifically the message of the cross and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a tremendous response. Many people came to faith in Christ, and God's power was seen and evidenced as the gospel was being preached. Now, this began to unleash a tide of fierce persecution, so much so that it was thought advisable that Paul should leave Thessalonica for a time and just move on somewhere else. And so in Acts chapter 17, we read that Paul went from Thessalonica to Berea. He preached the gospel in Berea, and many people came to Christ in Berea. And then following that, he came to Athens. Now, when he was in Athens, he was greatly concerned and disturbed about the progress of the church in Thessalonica. He had been and planted this church and pioneered it. This massive wave of persecution had been directed against it. And Paul, one can almost imagine Paul lying awake at night and thinking, "I wonder how the folks in Thessalonica are getting on. I wonder how the church is faring in the face of that terrible persecution." And it came to the point where Paul couldn't wait any longer. So he commissioned Timothy and he said, "Timothy, I'm giving you a task. I want you to go to Thessalonica to look at the situation, assess the situation, and come back to me and give me a report of how the church is doing in the light of this present crisis." And so Timothy came to Thessalonica, and yes, he saw evidence of persecution and opposition, But Timothy saw a thriving church, a church on fire for God, a church reaching out into the community and preaching the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, and many people coming to faith in Christ. And so Timothy goes back to Paul and says, Paul, I've got great news for you. I've been to Thessalonica. I've seen for myself the situation, and I'm happy to report, yes, there's persecution, there's opposition, there are difficulties, but the church is in good health and is growing and flourishing. And from that church, the gospel is being sounded out to the region round about. And so Paul is so overjoyed at receiving that news, he writes this first epistle to the Thessalonians, commending them for their courage in standing firm for the gospel. And I want to read to you a few verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul and Silas and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And God will bless the reading of his precious word. I want to center my thoughts initially along these lines. Here's a church experiencing persecution. Here's a church facing tremendous challenges, but they remain true to their task of mission and preaching the gospel. And I want to draw your attention to verse 3 of this first chapter, where Paul commends them on three fronts. He says this to them: we continue, remember for our God and Father, three things: your work produced by faith, your labour prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just look at these three things, because Paul went on to describe them as a model church, not a perfect church. There never has been a perfect church, and there never will be. But Paul looked upon these people as a model church. So let's look at the first of these: your work produced by faith. And so the Apostle Paul is rejoicing in their salvation. He's rejoicing that their lives have been impacted through encountering God. He is rejoicing with them that they've received this great assurance of salvation, that they've made peace with God. And he goes on to say how that you have turned from idols to serve the living and true God. That's a very important statement. You have turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, what's he talking about there? Well, 50 miles south of the city was Mount Olympus, and Mount Olympus was reckoned to be the home of the Greek gods. So within the city, there was a heavy occultic atmosphere. So he talks about their work produced by faith, which motivated them, having received the gospel, it motivated them to take the gospel into the community. The second thing he commends them for was their labour prompted by love. You see, one of the successes of this church was the love of Christ was being shed abroad both within the fellowship, within the structure and life of the church, but also that love was being shed abroad outside with the community. And, you know, it's so very important if we're going to see healthy, flourishing churches, that within our churches there is that expression, that clear expression of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the words that Jesus spoke in defining discipleship. And in John's Gospel, he said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So that's an essential ingredient in the life of the local church, that the love of Christ is not only shed abroad within the fellowship, but that that spills outside into the community, whereby the church is demonstrating the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the message of the gospel is God's love for a broken and dying world. The third thing that Paul commends them for was their endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've already said how that they were facing persecution, and some of them were facing prison sentences. But one of the great things that kept them going was this blessed hope in the reality of the great message of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a great sense of expectancy. This was part of their gospel message, this expectation that any day the Lord Jesus Christ could return. I want to say this, friends, in light of the events we see happening around our world, this whole COVID-19 situation and other things that are happening around our world, I believe these are telling us that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing very near. And we need to be mindful of that. Again, I'm reminded of the words of Jesus when he said, "You also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Paul, writing later in this same epistle, he said this, "You yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." And so we are living in the closing days of time, and there must be with each one of us that expectancy and that blessed hope in this great message of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul goes on in this chapter to say some amazing things. He talks about how they received the gospel. They received the gospel not in word only, but also in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And that has to be our prayer in the mission of the church, in all that she's seeking to do, in the declaration and preaching of the gospel, that it is not just word only, but it is a gospel preached in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit that results in lives being transformed in supernatural ways. Paul says they received the gospel with much assurance, with deep conviction. In other words, when the gospel was preached, something happened. The Holy Spirit put steel in their convictions. And my prayer is for you there in Honley that when basically things get back to normal, hopefully at some point in time, that as you work there in that community and share the love of Jesus in that community, and as you declare the gospel in that community, that you will see things happening and lives being changed. Coming towards an end of my little message today, Paul goes on to say in verse 7, "You became examples to all who believe in Macedonia and Achaia." That word examples means model. You have become the model church, not the perfect church, as we said a moment ago. I don't know whether you heard the story of two Christian men were having a conversation, and one of them was getting a bit disgruntled with his church, and he was wondering whether to leave and go somewhere else. And he said to his friend, "I'm looking for the perfect church." And his friend replied and said to him, "Well, don't you go there, you'll spoil it." Amusing, but true. No, they were examples. And you see, the wonderful thing here is that people, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, not only in Thessalonica were told, but also in the regions round about, they were talking about what God was doing in this amazing church. People are speaking about you. They're speaking about the wonderful works of God that are happening in your midst. I was preaching recently in our Ealing Church in Cardiff North, and it's not a big church, it's a small church, but they have an amazing community program. They're reaching out to people in incredible ways. I haven't got time to go into detail, but such is the effectiveness of their community program that their work was mentioned in a speech in the Welsh Assembly in Cardiff. People were talking about the amazing work that the folks there in Cardiff were doing. So to conclude, the Apostle Paul is rejoicing with them. They're standing in the face of persecution. And he says, from you, the word of God is reverberating. It is echoing. It is sounding forth. The message is clear. Your life is clear. And because of that, there's an effectiveness in mission and testimony. And so as we face the coming days, and as we are aware of so much hostility directed against the church and the message of the gospel, we continue in our mission and we wait for his Son from heaven, the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray for you today, and as you make plans for the future, and all that's in your heart to do in the fulfilling of the vision that God has given you, that you will know blessing and growth and fruitfulness and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and that from you, the gospel may sound out in that community, and that many will come to faith in Christ. May God bless you today. Amen.